You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 30th of August. Can the Jazz survive without Derek Favors? And Eric Woodyard, summer interview series on how good the Jazz are and the rest of the Western Conference. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it a lot better to be a Jazz fan and keeping your offseason alive, because there is no offseason for a true Jazz fan. And by the way, there's not much of an offseason left, frankly. Our guys will start coming into town after Labor Day, those that are not playing in the World Cup. The coaches are meeting on a daily basis right now and really beginning to dig in hard. So it's close. We're inside 30 days of media day and training camp opening, and purple uniforms are being displayed and all sorts of great, great things are taking place right now. So thanks very much for sticking with us throughout the offseason. Thank you to Jeremy Orr, who just dropped another 5-star review on Locked On Jazz on iTunes, and thanks to IWB24. I appreciate that as well. And to G. Thomas Gotcha. We're lucky to have you in the market. You hustle and make it. Appreciate some. Thank you guys very, very much. Also, thank you to MJM. And of course, Rudy is the top 10, he says. Appreciate it. Maybe we'll get to 1,000 reviews here. That'd be kind of cool. All right, let's get to it. The number one question I hear from all Jazz fans, because we have to have something to worry about, is will we be okay without Derek Favors? Let me dig into it, because I think there's a bunch of misnomers that are going on about this conversation, and then there's a few areas that are legitimate about this conversation. So the first misnomer that I think has to be discussed is that Rudy Gobert and a stretch four, regardless if it's Jay Crowder, Thabo Sefolosha, Jonas Jerebko, no one as good as Bojan Bogdanović or as probably as good as Jeff Green, that lineup has always been better. So last year, the Jazz, with Rudy only, were 7.3 points per 100 possessions, and they were 4.7 points with Rudy and Faves. The year before, when Rudy and Faves were actually really good together, the Jazz were still a 9.7 positive with Rudy by himself and an 8.9 with Favors and Gobert. So for both the last 2 years, which is a huge sample size in the NBA, it's 1,600 minutes of Favors and Gobert. It's 2,800 minutes of just Gobert only. The Jazz have been better when Gobert is on the floor by himself, and he hasn't been with this good of players. So one of the things I hear everyone worrying about is like, well, will we be as good defensively? Well, that's actually what's really interesting also, is the Jazz have been virtually the exact same defensively with Gobert and a stretch as they have been with Favors and Gobert. Not exactly, but pretty close, but better plus minus. So the first 12 minutes of every night was these two guys starting together. Then Gobert would play, and they would average 22 minutes of Gobert by himself on the floor without a stretch floor. That was the average last year. The average this year is going to be significantly more than that, probably going to be 32. So the first part of this question that I think is faulty is, will the Jazz be okay without Derek Favors, is that Rudy Gobert by himself is better than Favors and Gobert, and we're going to get 10 more minutes a night of Favors by himself. Excuse me, by Gobert by himself. Not any diss on Derek, but that's the issue, is that the Jazz were 7.6 positive last year with Gobert on the floor without Favors. You're now getting that for 32 minutes a night instead of 22 minutes a night. And so you're just much better in those 12 minutes. So the question really on that regard should be, against starters, can Gobert and a stretch four be as good as they have been throughout their run? And the chances are yes, because usually that's how we close the game. So that's the first part. The second part I keep hearing is, what are we going to do offensively in the second unit without Derek? And the Derek Joe Ingles pick and roll was exciting. And the Derek offensive rebounding was exciting. And so it is legitimate to say what are we doing about that? However, here's where it's illegitimate. The offense without Rudy Gobert on the floor, with Derek Favors as a center, against second units in each of the last 2 years has been dreadful. Maybe not Derek's fault, but this is what you're replacing. The question is, for the 16 minutes a night that Derek Favors was playing center by himself, that will now be Ed Davis or some very small lineup, can the Jazz be as good? Well, over the last two seasons, the Jazz offense with Favors as the center in 18-19 was a 106.7. If you take a 106.7 and extrapolate it for the entire season, it would be 26th in the NBA offensively. In the 17-18 season, they were a 105.9. If you take that, it would be 23rd offensively. So as beautiful as the Joe Ingles, Derek Favors pick and roll was, and as dominant as the Derek Favors offensive rebounding was, for the entirety of the season, our second unit offense was awful. And that's what everyone's worrying about. So the first two things that everyone's worrying about, well, can we survive without Derek Favors? One, the misnomer there is you are now getting 32 minutes of Rudy Gobert with a stretch, which has always been better than Gobert and Favors. So then that leads us to part two, which is the 16 minutes a night in which Favors was the center, and will we be able to survive offensively in the second unit? And I have been kind of there, because Ed Davis is not yet shown in his career that he's a good pick-and-roll center. Doesn't have great hands. His pick-and-roll with D'Angelo Russell was a .935, which isn't bad. Years prior with Dame Lillard, it wasn't great. Like, it just, he hasn't been a great pick and roll. You're not going to predicate your offense on the pick and roll the same way you did with Faves and Ingles. But the truth is that the Jazz second team offense, this whole 16 minutes we're talking about, has been terrible. So those two items are not, there's no validity to it. What is real is how good the Jazz were defensively in that second unit. Last year, their defense was a 102.1 with Favors as the center against second units, and that would be number one in the NBA. And the year prior, it was a 105.7, and that's the sixth best in the NBA. So can a second unit of Ed Davis, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic trying to score, Dante Exum cracking down, Emmanuel Mudiay maybe, can that group be as good defensively? That's legit. And the other part that's legit is if Gobert gets hurt. But frankly, at some point, you're going to build your roster in a manner, and if your best players get hurt, you're screwed. And we're there. You know, the thing we talked about for the last few years is, what was the value of 3 through 12 depth? The Jazz had amazing 3 through 12 depth. And what the Jazz found out is that 3 through 12 depth means that when you play below 500 or less good teams, you win. Our winning record against not very good teams was awesome last year and the year prior. But what it wasn't very good was when we played the best teams. And that's when Favors and Gobert got exposed. And that is when the lack of the stretch lineup wasn't as good as it was before. And that's where the Jazz should hopefully get better. Last year, the Jazz against above 500 teams were 20-23, and they were 30-9 against below 500 teams. 30-9. Because they had this incredible 3 through 12 depth. The year prior, they were 26-24 against above 500 teams, and 22-10 against below 500 teams. So this year, if they stay healthy, they just overwhelm those below 500 teams because they're so good, and hopefully now have the mathematical matchup to be able to handle these other teams at the highest of levels, matching up against good teams. But the concern truly comes down to one thing. Can the Jazz be as good defensively in the 16 minutes that Rudy Gobert is off the floor and Ed Davis was the number two defensive plus-minus center in the NBA last year? And with Dante hopefully healthy and Royce O'Neal and maybe Emmanuel Mudiay kicks in defensively with some skills, maybe not. I'm not sure he has that. There you go. All right, that hopefully answers the question of whether we should be that concerned. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai. The Palisade is the new Hyundai that's out there. It is impossible to get your hands on. Linden is the number one Palisade selling dealership in the country. That includes LA, that includes Chicago, that includes New York. It's the Utah County Assault Vehicles that are just taking over. But if you want the new Palisade, 8-seater with incredible bells and whistles and features and back doors that won't open if the car is coming, if a car is coming by, as a safety feature for your kids and every other safety feature that we, when we bought our Santa Fe, we added and added and added all the safety features. They're all now standard on the Palisade. It's an incredible car. They're hard to get a handle on. But if you want to check it out, go to the Murray store at 4646 South State Street up in Logan or in Linden, and may need to put your name on a list to be able to get them, frankly. But they are amazing. The little Kona is zippy, fun SUV if you're looking for kind of the single person SUV. The Tucson's one step up from that. And then we've got the Santa Fe, which is the mid-range. That's a lot of SUVs at Hyundai. Three stores in Utah for Murdoch: Linden, Logan, and 4646 South State Street. If you are out there right now and you are shopping for a car, make sure you at least stop by and take a look at what's going on with Murdoch and see what the Hyundai dealership can get for you. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Final day with Eric Woodyard, which is sad because these are fun conversations. As we look at this Jazz team, let me just ask the most basic question. What's your thought on how good they are?
I think just the moves that they made, and I'm so excited to see Mike Conley and Quinn Snyder's system. And I think, we talked about it over and over, but I want to see it. I think Conley's definitely motivated and ready to show everybody that he can compete for a title. He's at the tail end of his career, so he wants to come out and use these last few years to really compete for a title. So I think they got the opportunity to be right at the top of the West. I know they made some good moves when people in Michigan are now talking about Utah everywhere I go, not even just because of me. I done dropped in on a couple barbershop conversations and people like, just talking, and it's a lot of excitement around the Jazz, which me growing up, we didn't hear a lot about Utah, even during the Darren Williams era and all that. So people are super excited about the team, and I think they made some great moves. I think they could be right at the top of the West. They stay healthy and gel how everybody thinks they will.
What's your thoughts on the Dante Exum and Emmanuel Mudiay situation? Neither of them, both high draft picks, neither of them have clicked in yet for various reasons. What's your thought on what we're going to see out of these two guys?
Man, I like it. I really do. I think it puts competition in both of them. It lights a little fire under their belly and their gut, to make them go out and try to be at the best of their game because they want to prove themselves. That's the best situation when you're in a position where you have to prove yourself, and you're in a position to prove yourself with an organization that really wants you to be great. So I think, both of them got a lot to prove, and I think it's a really, really good situation. I think the Jazz, kudos to the front office for doing that and, bringing those guys in and even pushing Dante. I think that'll push Dante to bring out the best of himself. I mean, a lot of stuff has been out of his hand with the injuries, but I think, this situation will, he's probably thinking about it in the back of his mind. I haven't talked to him or nothing, but as he's working out, I know, he's probably thinking of that. Any competitor would.
What position do you think Dante is?
I think he's, it's tough. We haven't seen him enough to know. I mean, he got two guard abilities, but he can handle the ball a little bit, but I don't know about his playmaking. That's kind of been a question as far as his play. Can he run an offense? I think it depends on who he's on the court with, honestly. He can be a one or a two, depending on it's all situational with him, honestly. He's a guard, put it like that.
I've almost thrown him out there as the
Oh, I have thrown him out there. I haven't almost. I've thrown him out there as the young Trevor Ariza.
I don't know about that. That might. I don't see him shooting enough. He doesn't shoot well enough to be Trevor Ariza.
Yeah,
you know, Trevor Ariza was a 3-and-D guy.
You just are so young. You forgot what Trevor Ariza shot in his early part of his career. When Trevor Ariza was on the championship Laker team, he shot 32% from three. And then Houston, he shot 33,
You also got to look at the trend of the league as well. At that time, threes weren't as trendy. He was more so making plays up the dribble a lot more at that time, too. So he probably shot a lot more. You know, once he got to Houston, that was, like, really his role, to like, be a 3-and-D guy. I don't know. I mean, I still got to see more of Dante. I don't really know what he is just yet. You know, as soon as we see a little bit, it's like it's snatched away. So it's like it's tough to find a comparison to him. I feel like he's way quicker than Trevor Ariza. You know, as far as off the ball, and like Trevor Ariza couldn't handle the ball as well as him. I don't feel like, you know, so it's parts of his game that I don't know. I don't feel like Ariza would. I don't know. For me personally, I don't really see that one because Ariza can't handle the ball as well as Dante. He's definitely not as quick either.
So I agree with you on the handling the ball is quick. I think defensively, that's where the comparison could be. Shooting, I think, is comparable, actually, at their stage of the careers. Ariza has had some outlier years, but has never been a great shooter. And I feel like Dante may be playing off ball and playing, you know, weak side action where somebody's already created something, and then he goes from there. I feel like is where he could really be really, really good. And then if he gets in the open floor with that speed, let him go. Like, right? I mean, sometimes out of those wing positions, you can actually run a little bit better than you can out of a point guard position. So
His size, too. You know, that's what's really intriguing about him, his size and that speed. That's really intriguing, man. That's why it's tough to find a comp to him because it's like, you know, we haven't saw that size and speed. It's tough to even compare a guy. Maybe – I don't know. I mean, Sean Livingston or something like that. That might, I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing names out, you know, with that size, you know. But I don't know, man. It's tough. We haven't saw him enough. So I want to see him a little more. I want to see him a full season. I know we saw him his rookie year's full season. But, you know, now that he's getting older and, you know, had a little more experience in the league, and I want to see him play a full year.
I'll be honest. I've had a hard time evaluating Dante because you just root for him because he's just such a good kid. I mean, so I'm so beyond being able to give an honest analysis of him because I keep just trying to find ways to make it work because I want because he's such a great kid. What is the pitfall? What is the thing that if it's not as good as we think it's going to be this year, what is the reason? What's your thought on what would make the Jazz not as good as everyone thinks they're going to be?
As we spoke before, man, I think defensively, I mean, I think Derek Favors was very, very underrated. You know, he's always on the trading block, but, man, that guy brought so much to this team. That guy was solid as a rock, super professional. And defensively, I mean, that guy was a beast, man. I mean, him and Rudy Gobert, those two guys together, I know they're bringing in Ed Davis, but, you know, he's not a Derek Favors. So, I mean, I think defensively to see if they can lock in and still, you know, have that – you know, they had that just that defensive pressure that they had, even with Jay Crowder. You know, Jay would be the guy that was right in the middle of everything. Who's going to be that guy now? I know Bogdanovich is kind of tough, but I don't know if he's as tough as Jay Crowder. So I think it's like, you know, just that toughness. Budoy still had that dog on the defensive end. I think that's really going to be the biggest part because that's been their mark the last 2 years. I know Quinn is going to stretch defensively and have them ready to go, but, you know, that interior defense, you know, I want to see if that can continue to maintain that presence that they've had with Derek Favors. So that's really what I'm looking at. I know they're going to score the ball. They probably will even score the ball better than last year, but defensively is going to be, you know, really where they need to. I want to see how they're going to, you know, play this year.
The interesting one to me is whether they're going to play hard, right?
Right.
Like, they actually have some guys, when you up your talent, that aren't known for particularly playing hard all the time. Right? Like, if Jay Crowder doesn't play hard, he doesn't play in the NBA. He's not very skilled. No, I'm not trying to be a jerk. Right. Like, that's the reality. Yeah. So, you've got some guys that haven't had to play hard all the time because they're so damn good. But like, now you got to see if they're going to play hard.
Right, yeah. Like you say, I think, man, people, you know, don't understand how tough and how hard Jay Crowder and Derek Favors. I mean, you always heard Derek Favors in the trade rumors, man. That guy brought it every night, though, and did so much for this Jazz team. And like you said, they need to find somebody that's going to match that intensity and play hard, you know, and that'll be something to look out for, definitely.
I will say, I'm 100% in on Derek Favors. The offensive lineup with him and Rudy on the floor was just, there was not another team in the league that was playing two bigs that couldn't shoot, couldn't pass, and couldn't dribble, right? Like, they're right. That just doesn't exist in the league. And there is a chance that with that not existing anymore, that this team just explodes offensively in a way that we haven't seen. I'm not saying you didn't say this. And then, frankly, the other part is that as much as Jay Crowder is tough and all these other things, he has to be. He's one of the least good shooters at his position in the league. And if Bojan Bogdanović suddenly takes those minutes, there's a chance that part explodes. But you're right, defensively, we don't know. I mean, a lot of this is besting on them becoming an elite offensive team all of a sudden.
And taking the numbers aside, man, I mean, you can't buy toughness, though. That's just like, man, it's you know, we could bring the numbers in and, you know, how they're supposed to do. But that toughness aspect is a big part of the game, man. So I think you can't measure that in numbers or stats. But, you know, that's why I say those guys were so valuable, you know, as far as it. And like you said, maybe together, you know, Gobert and Favors might have had their struggles, but Favors carried and bailed them out of a lot of games.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, you can't take away the fact, you know, this guy helped win playoff games, this guy helped win regulars. It's a big hole to fill there, you know, and you might be bringing in guys that on paper look better, but it's a lot of intangibles that you can't really measure, you know, in those two guys that you have. So,
right.
Like you said, that'd be something to watch out for.
You know what I can't, you know what I can measure? You know what I can measure? Is that Bojan Bogdanović shot 45% on catch and shoot threes. Okay? So I can measure that.
Right. We know they struggle catch and shoot. They struggle with everything offensively in the playoffs, so that wasn't even
right.
Everything they couldn't make a layup, they couldn't do nothing. So they need scoring from all aspects, honestly.
Because you can talk to me all you want about toughness, but I know the difference between 45% catch and shoot three and 33% catch and shoot three. I'm perfectly aware of what those things are. He's Eric Woodyard. We'll find out what he thinks about the rest of the NBA and his thoughts on where the West stands. Houston, Lakers, all of those teams. When we continue, a lot of fun this week with Eric. You can follow him on Twitter, E_Woodyard on Twitter. This is Locked On Jazz. The rates are super low right now on the mortgage landscape and the refinance landscape. And if you're considering it, then let me tell you about InterCap Lending. Steve Carter is amazing. This is such a cool deal we have with InterCap, and it's so great to see how InterCap has grown. So the first thing with what we have with InterCap is basically we have a Locked On Jazz account. And that Locked On Jazz account means that Steve Carter is your designated person. And what Steve Carter will do for you is give you a Locked On Jazz corporate rate, which is the first thing, which is awesome. And then the second thing, he'll give you just insane customer service. So listen, Joshua Johnson, Locked On Jazz. Steve Carter has helped us twice in 9 months and has been awesome both times. The refi was much smoother than the last one, but Steve was on top of everything both times. At the time of the first refi, we had to change course very late in the process, but he still met our closing schedule. He also advised me as a time we'd be able to improve our loan. I would recommend Steve Carter to anyone. Dakota Shorter says, absolutely breezy experience with my first run as a home loan. I highly recommend Steve Carter. It was very clear, detailed, and explaining and making sure that as a first-time home buyer, we knew everything that was going on and why. He had an answer for every question I had and made it easy to understand and acquire a loan. Insanely quick response, whether it was email or text or even late hours. I'm not joking when I say I can't think of an issue or complaint throughout the whole process. This is what Steve Carter does. This is what's made InterCap grow so dramatically. Give Steve a call. He is our Locked On Jazz lender. 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528 with InterCap Lending. And InterCap has been in business for 40 years and is a direct lender, so they can do things for you that other people may not be able to do. Make sure you check it out. InterCap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Final segment with Eric Woodyard, Deseret News. Make sure you give him a follow, as I said, on Twitter, E_Woodyard. Who's your favorite in the Western Conference?
It's got to be the Clippers, man. Add Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. I put the Clippers right up there.
The numbers are all pumping out the Houston Rockets.
man, I don't know how it's gonna work. I mean, like, you got two guys with Russell Westbrook, James Harden, they do the exact same thing. I don't know how that can work. So I'm intrigued. I want to see it work. I want to see Westbrook, you know, go out and have a great season and, you know, kind of revitalize his. I think people just kind of wrote Russell Westbrook off a little bit, and I think I want to see him, you know, prove himself. But I don't really see how that can work with two ball handlers who do the same exact thing. They do the same exact thing. And at this point, I can't see James Harden changing his game because he feel like it's worked for him. He's been in the MVP conversation the last three or four seasons. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work, but you know, I'm ready to see the ride. It'll be fun to watch, for real.
Okay, so
they might be the most entertaining team in the league, honestly.
Yeah, or, I mean, people always ask me what TV shows I watch, and I always just say the NBA because, like, when you call a game, it means you missed five that night, so I just download them and watch them. For the opening month of the season, I will have downloaded and watched every Houston Rocky game. There's no question. But what about the fact that, you know, Westbrook uses 27% of his possessions in the first 4 seconds of the shot clock or something like that, maybe the first, like, 18 to 22. And, you know, he uses about 50% of his possessions by 15 on the clock, and Harden does the opposite. Harden uses almost all of his possessions on the back half of the clock. So, in that sense, can you build a team in which one of these guys is the first shot part of the shot clock, and then if it doesn't work, then you go to Harden in his ISO, and Harden used, I think it was, I'm remembering from the playoffs, might have been 70% of Harden's possessions came after 15 in the shot clock.
Man, but you still got it. Even with that being said, you still got a team. I mean, you know, how do you keep everybody else involved with two guys who want to keep the ball while keeping them happy? It's more so even just managing the egos. I know they're friends and things like that, but on the court, it's more so even managing, like, can D'Antoni manage the egos, you know, as well. So, I mean, I think Westbrook, what he doesn't get enough credit for, I think he kind of realized last year with Paul George that, hey, I'm not the number one option. Let me take the back seat because, you know, Paul George is in the MVP conversation. So we saw him take the back seat a little bit. But will James Harden adapt as well? You know, it didn't work with Chris Paul, you know, but I don't know. I don't know. They got to keep teammates happy as well. You know, that's why it's intriguing to see, like, how can these guys play together? You know, when they played together in OKC, they were two totally different players. So maybe possibly you can use it that way, but you also got to keep the teammates happy. You also got to keep others involved. Who will step up and be filling major roles? So it'd be so much intrigue within that team.
The team that has me the most confused, honestly, is the Lakers. And for two,
right. especially with Boogie going down too, that don't help at all either. So yeah,
actually, I'm not sure I was convinced Boogie helped in the first place. So then there were even more confusion. But now I know it doesn't help. So there were two things that really have me most confused. One is, quite honestly, how old LeBron might be. Right, like, he's got to get old at some point. It has to happen. I know it seems impossible. And then two, for all the talk of Anthony Davis, his teams have never been very good defensively. And so I worry a little bit on, like, whether or not the Lakers will be any good defensively. They might be truly awful defensively, actually.
You never know with them either. And then, you know, you also got to factor in the rest factor. How many games will they sit out? You know, Anthony Davis missed a lot of games. We know LeBron is getting older. So it's a lot of things with how many games they'll play. Will they get up to a good start? How will they gel? I don't know how this team will look at all either. You know, it's just, we just don't know. They lost a lot as well, too. So, I really don't know what to think, you know, about the Lakers at all. You know, like you said, LeBron does have to get old at some point, but I don't see it this year, though. I really don't. Like, I think LeBron going to come show everybody that he's still one of the best in the league, as long as he can stay healthy, you know. Defensively, obviously, he's taking a step back. He's older. But, I mean, just pound for pound, it's hard for me to say a player is better than LeBron, you know, until I see it all the way for the season. Because even in this down season, we talk about numbers. Look at the numbers he put up last year. So, and that was a down year for him. That was some people's best seasons. You know, I don't think Kawhi even put up those numbers. And that was LeBron, one of his – we all can agree that was one of his worst seasons.
He's just – I got it.
We're talking about the numbers a lot. We're talking about the numbers, man. What did he put up last year?
But the numbers show a huge –
still putting up numbers, man.
The numbers show a huge – Eric, the numbers show a huge decline. Like, there was a massive decline. He went from shooting 54% to 51%. His three went from 37 to 34. His effective field goal percentage went from 59 to 56. His free throws dropped off the map. He had the same points and rebounds and assists, but the efficiency wasn't there at all. And the biggest numbers,
we would be hailing them as the greatest.
Absolutely.
You know, that's his down season. We all can agree that that's a down season. That shows how much better he is than the rest of the league.
They're 100%. Like. But the two biggest numbers that matter are 82 to 55. Right? Like 80.
Right.
And he's played 46,000 regular season minutes. Like, there's nobody in the history of the game that has been good at this point in their career. Nobody.
I can't write LeBron off, man, until I see it.
Writing him off, but isn't there a chance we saw it? Don't you buy that there's a legitimate chance we're going to look back at last year and say, oh yeah, it was clear?
It's a chance, but it's also a chance that he can come back and, you know, show people that, you know, I bet my money on LeBron. You know, I'm betting the positive side of it, because I just can't write that dude off, man. I mean, that guy, I haven't seen any other players like him, so if anybody in history could do it, it'd be him. And I see his work ethic. I see he's working every day. He seems like he has a chip on his shoulder. And as long as he can stay healthy, that's the biggest thing. Because even last year, they started off strong, you know, before he got hurt. But, you know, his biggest thing was the health, the groin. So I want to see how his body responds. That's the biggest thing, I think.
All right, just so people don't think I'm insane, here are the three most recent players who he has just surpassed in minutes played. And think about what they were like at this point in time of their career. Joe Johnson, Vince Carter, and Paul Pierce.
And he running like, I mean, he, like I said, we talked about what he did last year. And that was a down year. And we can both agree that that's light years ahead of. If somebody else were to put up those numbers, even with those percentages, we would be putting them in the MVP conversation, right?
I think he was in the MVP conversation. What I'm trying to figure out is what he's going to be this year. And if he's not, if he's off by a little, then I don't know how good that Laker team is.
I don't know how good, even with him on top of his game, I still don't know how good that Laker team is. I got to see Anthony Davis in a winning. I mean, we saw him, you know, make it to the playoffs, but nobody put New Orleans to actually compete for a title. So Anthony Davis has never been in a position of his career where he's really had to compete for a title. So I think this is a whole other life for him as well. I mean, we know what he can do, you know, in New Orleans, but now you're in L.A., you know, this is a whole other level. This is one of the biggest franchises where they want to win championships now. So I think it's not only on LeBron, it's on everybody else. I think LeBron is going to bring it this year. I think he'll be in the MVP conversation, but what will the teammates do? You know, how better has Kuzma got this summer? How better has, you know, a lot of different players, you know, that they're mixing in? You know, how can those guys take a step as well? So I think it's not only just on LeBron. I think, you know, he'll be in tip-top shape, you know, working hard. We don't have to worry about him, but, you know, it's the rest of the team as well. It's not just him.
It'll be interesting to see if Anthony Davis plays when Rudy Gobert plays now that he's in L.A. Oh, sorry.
It's a couple guys that – I know in Utah, it was a running joke about a couple guys in the league that always sit out versus Rudy Gobert. So, right. Yeah,
Anthony Davis has found a way to not always play in games. Now, frankly, to the Derek Favors conversation we had earlier, I think is where Derek Favors did a lot of guarding of Anthony Davis at times too. So there's, you know, there's some interesting, that's where Anthony Davis, by the way, shooting in games against Rudy Gobert this year doesn't count because it was March and he was barely playing, 9 of 22 and 6 of 16. He then had a brilliant game where he went 12 of 23, 7 of 17, 4 of 12, 11 of 31. Shooting under 40% basically over that stretch. Pretty interesting.
All right.
All right, my man. This was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate your time. And I look forward to spending time.
Man.
I owe you lunch or something of the sort. And I'll take care of you.
Look, man, you could always satisfy me with some wings, man. Preferably, I've been bragging about these wings out here in Michigan at Charlie Wing Company. Shout out to Charlie Wing Company, man. I'm like some of my favorite wings, man. So.
Well, I've got like seven listeners that are still listening right now, so you should get free wings for that plug right there. Some people pay real money to be on this show, but Charlie doesn't have to do that because he's friends with Eric.
Yeah,
Awesome, buddy.
Yeah, shout out to Charlie Wayne Company, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks,
buddy.
Follow him on Twitter, E_Woodyard. Send him a thank you for coming on. That was a really fun week. We appreciate his time immensely. This is Locked On Jazz. Thanks for tuning. We'll be back with you next week here on the Locked On Podcast Network.